You and I seem to share an affinity for love of older poets.
Yeah.
And it seems so opposite of how old people are treated in this culture. When I say this, I say North American culture.
Yeah.
As people who should be dead.
Yeah, right.
And yet you're there chronicling your visits to Phyllis Webb all the time. Tell us about what she means to you as a poet and as a human.
Yeah. Boy, it's almost become too difficult to figure that out. It's become part of the fabric of my being. She'll be 90 in April next month. So she's been there on that island since the late 60s, inhabiting it fully. I've been going to see her about 13 years now. You know, it's like having that instant access to the timelessness of poetry. Like you come in and you sit down and talk to her, and I can just say stuff like, "Oh, yeah, student asked about Sylvia Plath the other day. What do you know about Sylvia Plath?" "Oh, well, I remember in 1959, blah, 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 you know, hearing her on the radio and talking to other people about Plath." And, you know, and just people she met and knew, and because she lived in France in the 60s, down the street from Sartre and de Beauvoir, and see them every day, and, you know, lived in London in the 50s as well, and was such a core part of Canadian literature as it formed in the 50s and 60s. And it only did form in the 50s and 60s. We didn't have a Canadian literature before that. We had a British literature.
Skipped right to postmodernism.
Exactly. Yeah, skipped right to postmodernism. That's right. So she's this embodiment of the attempt to make art, the attempt to make good art, the attempt to make intellectual, philosophical, piercing art, the attempt to be political, to see that as a political project. She did all the good things that I love about the last century's art and writing. She attempted all of it. Maybe failed a lot. She sees it as a failure, but she was right in the midst of everything I see as important. You know, amazing. But to me, I guess, so that's all wonderful. But the incredible thing is, this is someone who sees a crucial failure in her career as a writer in the late 60s when she couldn't write a long epic poem she wanted to write. And then eventually completely stopped writing in the 25 years ago or so. She says, words abandoned me. And for a writer to persist 25 years after, it's almost 9 years old, living daily with a sense of words have abandoned me, it's mind-blowing to me. And again, that's everything I want to understand about the world. Because it's almost, and this isn't to be creepy and weird about it, but it's a kind of living death. Or an engagement with death, silence, right? So the end, your oeuvre is over, you know? Slap a price tag on that collected poems and put it out there, no more is coming. And yet to live so long beyond that and with that consciousness of that, wow, that just still sends shivers down my spine when I think about her, you know?
How does she fit into the scheme of Cascadian poetry?
Yeah, well, she's so much a poet of that island, I think, in so many ways. But even you go back to her work of the 50s, say, when she was living in Vancouver in the early 50s and then went to Montreal and then Europe after that, before coming back here in the 60s. Her work is always beaches and coastlines and trees in the wind, and it's entirely a locative poetry. It is Cascadia, is what you see, poem after poem. So she's very much a poet of this space. You look at where Salt Spring Island is on the map. Take those wonderful maps of Cascadia. That's the navel. That's the, what's that great old word for? That's the heart, the middle of it. It pivots around those islands in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
She went there to escape. I think she went there because this felt like a place, you know, she really was dropping out of the world she no longer wanted to be attached to in any way. A lot of people have come to Cascadia for that, haven't they?
Yes, I think it attracts that in many ways. It attracts that kind of person.
Yeah.
And the fact that she did the interviews with the faculty of the Vancouver Poetry Conference is also very important, too.
It is. For me, a poet for whom Duncan has been so important. And, you know, it's odd because not so much Duncan's actual poetry, I don't think. Like, it's not about form or style or technique I got from Duncan, but it's just the concept of what poetry is and how and why it happens has been so important for Duncan. Duncan really was huge for Phyllis too. So she actually got a grant and after the 63 conference and went and spent about 4 months of 1964 living near Duncan, a few blocks away, and would just go hang out with him.
Stinson Beach? Was he in Stinson Beach?
No, he wasn't. He was in San Francisco at that point.
But that
so
was
just
at the
after
height.
Stinson Beach, I guess.
That is at the height of his creative output.
Totally.
If you look at it, those three books.
Those three books in the 60s. I know. So she was there at 64. So, I mean, she's so funny to talk to because if she volunteers things, amazing things come on, but you ask her point blank questions, she's a hard interviewer. She doesn't answer stuff straight up. Doesn't like to, it seems. Yeah. Doesn't want to remember, she even says sometimes. So I ask her, oh, I want to know, you're sitting there at Dunkin'. Hilarious stories do come out. So he's like, oh yeah, this guy was hanging out all day and they kept calling him Nobby. And I'm like, I don't know who the hell he was. And then she found later, it's Norman O'Brown, who she loved. That book, Love's Body, was really important for Phyllis. But he just hung out all day with Nobby, not knowing who Nobby was. but, you know, it's funny. I said, you know, so did you, and I think of particular poems that Phyllis wrote at that time. And I said, so did you bring that draft to Duncan to get him to comment on it? She's like, no, I don't know. It really feels like it was just absorbing Duncan atmosphere for her. She just hung out and chatted and hung out with whoever else was there. And he had tons of visitors all the time, of course, right? Just hung out with Duncan and Jess for like 4 months. Yeah. That's a good education, I think.
Do you maintain a blog?
I have a blog, but I rarely blog these days. That's a joke, right? I know, because I got in trouble with that blog. It's hard, isn't it, to maintain a regular public writing process like that?
After it's been held against you in a court of law.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that too.
That's something to discourage you.
It's a good disincentive. I know. That's true. Trying to avoid that. Keep quiet on the blog. but you know, I'm that sort of writer that needs to write every day, and I think about my brother who lives in Chicago, and you have a Chicago connection, don't you? He doesn't work anymore. He's in his 60s, and he's always been in bands and played guitar, but now his retirement is just like he plays guitar like 6 hours a day. But we were talking about it once, and you know, if you're a guitar player, that's what you do. You practice all the time, and once in a while you're composing a song or performing a song, but most of the time you're just practicing.
Well, you are what you do every day.
Oh, totally. So I do try and write almost every day. So I've kept journal. This is journal number 92 over, you know, 25 years or so, or close to 30 years, I guess, just about. And I write it all the damn time. And I remember studying Duncan's notebooks years ago, and I just started doing what he did, which everything goes in there. It doesn't matter what it is. Right. It could be a note you're writing down at a talk. It could be a draft of a poem. It could be a quote, you know, you're researching and you're writing down quotations. It could be, you know, to-do lists.
So some,
it all goes in there.
Some poor schmuck intern in 50 years is going to have to digitize that.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope not. And bad drawings. Filled with bad drawings. Usually of birds and things.
And receipt. Was that a receipt in there?
Whenever I go see Phyllis on the ferry, I stick the ferry receipt in. Just as a way of marking it, knowing exactly where it is. Finding it quickly. I'm like, oh, okay, that was the time I visited Phyllis.
What a delight to be here. Thank you for all this.
It's so good to have this conversation with you. It really is. Thanks a lot. Yeah, fabulous.